Welcome back. This is the Life, Business, and Money Radio Show. I am Stephen Kay, your host. Excuse me. Still getting over that flu or cold or the last of the cough. Very, very, very last of the symptoms. And thanks to my good friend and my nutritionist, Dr. Dan Cuney, was able to recover from it as quickly as I possibly could. Of course, I will say, I don't get sick a lot in my life. Maybe once every few years I'll have a cold or a flu, so I consider myself fairly healthy. But this one was probably one of the worst ones I had ever experienced. It hit me hard. It stayed with me long. It affected, as you can hear, my voice. It's still, I'm in the last stages of getting over it. So today in our health episode of Life, Business, and Money, we're going to talk with Dr. Dan Cuney about how to get over the common cold or flu in a more natural capacity so that you can, again, create better health in your life. And if you want more information about Dr. Dan and the information that he provides for better health, you can find it online at drdanwellness.com. Of course, you can call us right here at 713-STEPHEN-K. That's 713-783-8365. Dr. Dan, I really just, first of all, want to thank you because when I got ill, as I said before, it hit me pretty hard. And I contacted you, and you responded very, very quickly, and I know how busy your schedule is, so I know how difficult that is, but I love the fact that you always make yourself available for your patients, and you, had me come in the same day. You were able to see me for just a few minutes and give me some things that, would help me through the illness, and I just want to say, thank you for all of that. Because, you know, sometimes when you're that ill, but it's not an emergency room situation, it's not life or death, getting into your doctor's office can still prove very difficult. Sometimes you still have to wait a day or two if they don't have the room in the schedule, but you made sure to make the time for me, and I know you made the time because when I walked in, you had like one or two other patients that you were between, and you were still able to squeeze me in. So I just want to say thank you for that. That is a service, exceptional service above and beyond.
Well, you're welcome, Stephen, and that's just what I do. I mean, it's part of my commitment to my patients. You know, when you get under care with me, what I do is that, you know, I want to make sure that you succeed throughout the health, your health and your life and what's going on for you. So we call that a quick check. So when you're actually under care with me, as you're starting to learn, what we do is, you know, we meet on a nutrition basis. We will meet a once a month appointment. And, you know, if anything's wrong during the month, we do a quick check, which is a no charge appointment. It's a quick appointment. It's like you said, it's about a three minute appointment. We just say, hey, what's going on? Okay. So on. Okay. Let's adapt this. Let's change this. Let's do this. And then, you know, text me back. Tell me how you're doing tomorrow. And we'll just, you know, keep in contact with it. And our patients are just like you, are very grateful for that opportunity. You know, they're not having to pay for the care. And, you know, if they do need to get a supplement, they pay for the supplement and you're, you know, they're on their way trying to get well. And so that is something that we really like to do in our office.
All right, so let's talk about what I went through and some of the things that were commonly taught throughout our lives as far as taking care of a cold or a flu, especially when we have symptoms like a high fever. And I did some research on my own while I was sick online. There's a lot of great, you know, that's what I love about today's technology. You can find a lot of great information, but you have to be careful because you can also find a lot of information that can lead you down the wrong path. One of the things that I really appreciated about a lot of the information I found is that these days people understand that when you have a fever, that it is a symptom of something else and that you really don't need to go in to see your doctor unless if the fever gets too high. The other thing that I saw was that you really don't need to take any of the common medications to cool the fever, like Tylenol, unless if it's, again, getting too high. But all of our lives we're taught, hey, when you have a fever, take this pill. It'll lower the fever and make you feel more comfortable. And that's what a lot of us seem to strive toward. We want to say, all right, well, this is what's happening now, and I don't like it. I don't like sitting here at 102 degrees or 101 degrees and having chills while I'm fully clothed and shaking and aching and feeling uncomfortable. What can I do to get rid of this right now? So we take that pill, and it does go away temporarily, but it's not necessarily healing us. It's just suppressing the symptoms. And when you're suppressing the fever, you're actually repressing your body's natural ability to fight off the infection that's attacking you in the first place.
Yes, Stephen, and you're hitting the nail right on the head. I think it's amazing that you've actually got that kind of understanding, because most of America is where you're saying is we're in symptom relief. In other words, we're in a symptom, we want to be out of a symptom, give me something that gets rid of that symptom. And before we even get into that concept, the first thing we want to ask ourselves is why. Like, is there an intelligence inside the body that's doing this for a reason? You know, there's definitely the possibility that's not a balance, but the more likely scenario is that there's something going on that the body's trying to do. And if we just track and measure this whole concept, we will see very easily that what the fever is trying to do is it's raising the body temperature. There's many bacteria and viruses that cannot survive at higher body temperatures. And what it also does is it helps leach calcium from your bones that helps you fight with the infection. So it's interesting when we recognize that and we say, okay, well, what would be a healthy fever presentation then? Well, a healthy fever presentation would be my fever goes up a little bit, it comes down a little bit, it goes up a little bit, it comes down a bit. If you get up and stuck at like 104 and it's just staying there at 104 and staying there at 104, then it would be wise to see a chiropractor, because what chiropractic is very well known for, it's happened hundreds and hundreds of times, is adjusting patients that are in fever and allowing their innate intelligence to be released more thoroughly. And the fever will be monitored, and you'll have that up and down scenario happening again. So one of the first things I recommend for patients, as you know, I'm also a chiropractor, is getting extra adjustments during that time. And the second thing is the other piece of the innate intelligence is trying to do there is it's trying to leach calcium from the bones. So, let's think about that. Could we possibly do something like, I don't know, maybe give some ionized calcium to the patient. And when we give the ionized calcium from the patient, then the body won't feel like it needs to leach as much calcium from your bones to fight the infection. And lo and behold, one of the best treatments for bringing down a fever is giving lots of ionized calcium to the patient. We use something called Coral Legend Plus from Premier Research Labs, or calcium lactate from Standard Process. And both of these have been phenomenal at helping bring down fevers pretty quickly, naturally. See, the difference with the acetaminophen is it's blocking certain presentations. It's not letting the body do what it needs to do. I can give you all the calcium in the world, and if your body's not ready to bring the temperature down, it won't. But if I give it what it needs, then it says, oh, I don't need to be at that high temperature anymore. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I think that's part of the problem with what we've been taught most of our lives as far as how to take care of ourselves when we're sick. And, you know, we've all heard there's no cure for the common cold. You just have to live through it. But at the same time, you can certainly do things that hurt your body to on the healing side, which is a lot of the things that we have been taught, or you can try to do things that will help your body do what it needs to do, but do it quickly, do it naturally, and help you get to back to good health in a better or more proper way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I have a little article I put together. And just with some of the basics, and I hand these, you know, I hand it out to my patients. I could put it up on the website. I haven't done it yet, but we can definitely put it up on the website. And And it just goes through some of the most important key points of getting over the common cold. So yes, we have to go through the process. There's not a quote unquote cure, but here's the things that I've found to be true is that if you go after this, like as soon as you get the first symptom, and that first symptom is different for everybody. Like I've had some patients that's just a little bit of swelling of the glands underneath your chin called the submandibular gland. Or some people will feel like a little bit of sniffles. I have one patient that their first sign of getting a cold is red ears. So his ears start to get red. He knows that he's starting to get sick. And if you go right at that point and start to notice this situation happening and you do the things that we'll talk about today, very often what will happen is that you'll stop the common cold from going into the full-blown cold. Now, once it is in full blown, in other words, once it is, you know, you're sick, all these immune processes have started, the immune cells have been created, the natural killer cells are coming out and doing everything that God has set us up to be able to do, which is wonderful, but you can't stop the process. It has to complete. So that's where that thing that kind of goes in and then you end up sick for a week and so on. As you are well aware, there is a pretty strong thing going around right now. It's hitting a lot of people pretty potently. And, so if anybody's experiencing this, you know, definitely want to, come in to me as a patient or do some of the things I recommend right away to try to avoid getting as sick as a lot of people are.
And I'll tell you, it is pretty harsh. I didn't realize it was going around as much as it was. Until I started talking with people, and I was talking with clients, I was talking with vendors, I was talking with friends, and not just here in Houston or in Texas, people I deal with all over the country. I was telling them what was going on because I might have had a deadline that I was running slow on and asked them to put off, or I might have had some voiceover work or some other things that I had to put on hold. And as I'm telling people, you know, this in Houston and California and in Kansas City, you know, in other places that I deal with people, all of them are saying, oh wow, you know, my boss just had that. My friend just had that. I just had that. Yeah, it started off as a cough, went to a full blown fever. And it was just amazing that, you know, this is going around and they were telling me a lot of the same symptoms that I had that they saw, that they experienced or they had seen people experience, including the heavy cough that causes you to lose your voice thing. And you mentioned something about catching it right at the beginning. Well, when I first had this, it started off as a simple cough. I didn't feel sick. I was just coughing a little bit and it wasn't bothering me. And so I, you know, still went to work and did what I needed to do, and somebody asked me, hey, are you getting sick? I said, no, it's just a slight cough. I'm sure I'll be over it in a couple of days. And I did the dumb mistake of ignoring it. And lo and behold, 2-3 days later, boom, you know, hit me like a brick, and I was down for the count.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're not used to it. I definitely get that. But I have gotten to a place now that I just literally, you know, when the dashboard light comes up on your car and you have two options, you can sort of just like ignore it and I'll get to it later, or I can just, I can go right after it and get it into the shop and say, okay,
yeah,
let's get this taken care of. I've kind of taken the approach the way I would with my car, which is as soon as the dashboard light comes up in the car, okay, you know, whatever my thoughts were, I got to go bring this car into the shop, but, you know, things have got to change. So the same thing happens when dashboard lights, if you will, come up on me. So if I start to get a little bit of swelling, that's my first symptom. If I start to get a little bit of swelling in the submandibular glands, you know, those glands that are up underneath your chin, I'm like, oh, okay, I got to do the things that we're going to talk about. And that is, I feel like, the way that I've kept myself from going full-blown sick for, you know, for years now.
You are fairly healthy, and I'm glad to see that. And I saw your vitamin and supplement regimen, and it's fairly intense. But Dr. Dan, you know, for every aspect of everything I know about you, you're probably one of the healthiest people that I know. But staying on topic. And by the way, Dr. Dan mentioned that he had written out some thoughts on how to get rid of the common cold or flu. We've actually posted those online at StephenKLive.com. Click the Read More link under today's show, and you'll see some of the remedies that Dr. Dan discusses on his website. Dr. Dan, in that vein, with some of the research that I did online, I found some things that I thought were interesting. I didn't necessarily believe them all, but some of them seemed to make sense. Some of them I thought, that can't work. And some of them I knew just weren't accurate at all. One of the common things that I saw is about, you know, putting an ice pack on your body to help reduce the fever, you know, or a damp cloth on your head, legs, feet, neck, etc. This is one of the most common remedies that we've seen, and it does tend to cool the body down, but I don't know if it actually helps us.
I'm not sure if it does either. I do know that when you got extreme fevers in the hospital, they will put you in an ice bath, you know, and in extreme situations, that does make some sense. And it may just be more of a comfort than anything. I could see that it helping a little bit, but the reality of it is that again, the fever is happening from an internal thought process, you know, innate intelligence of your brain. I need to turn the heat up to cook out the bacteria and viruses that are going on. I don't want them here. So, you know, I try not to battle it. If I do battle it, the way I battle is what we'll explain in a minute with that extra calcium or with the raw, you know, the raw apple cider vinegar and give the body nutrients. And if I give the body nutrients and it says, oh, now I have the fuel to do what I want to do, and then it shuts off the, you know, turns down the heat, then I feel more potent about it. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's not going to hurt you. But I don't know that it's going to help you get well faster. We'll put it that way.
Now, the other thing that we tend to do is when we're running a fever but we have those chills, we tend to dress up in more clothes to keep the chills away. I've read in places that you should actually just wear comfy clothes, stay in air conditioning, and if you want to take a shower, make sure the shower's not too hot, not too cold, make sure it's lukewarm, so that you don't impact your body temperature, the core temperature, in a way that can offset or cause the fever to increase too much or lower too much to where it's not fighting off the infection.
Yes, and this is where I may differ a little bit. You know, if you're starting to have a fever, you should be home. You know, you should be resting. You should not be doing anything. You should just give your body a chance to rest. And that includes not getting in the shower. I mean, do you really need to get up and get in the shower? And maybe you get a little lightheaded, you slip and fall. If the heat's just a little bit too much or too little, then your body's going to have to fight to maintain that temperature. And the supposition is right. Like, don't try to change the temperature what your body is. So if your temperature of your body is 100, then be in 100 degree water. But good luck at being perfect at that. So I don't go there unless I feel, I mean, I'd rather take a bath than a shower. So at least you wouldn't fall, right? But again, the same thing with the temperature of the bath would still be challenging to match that appropriate temperature. So not that it's a bad thing, but it's not something that I would do. I would be laying around and reading and closing my eyes and praying and, you know, and keeping a positive mindset. I'm definitely dress appropriately, and you may notice that you need to change things. So just listen to your body. If you need to put more clothes on, put more on. If you feel like you need to take a little bit off, take a little off. I'm really about listening to the innate intelligence, the inborn intelligence that God's put inside our body.
Now, I saved the best one for last, and we'll actually get to this in the next segment, as well as more of your remedies and recommendations as far as taking care of a common cold or flu. But we've all heard the old adage, feed a cold, starve a fever. I have done a lot of research on this particular point, and there are views on all sides of this. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what that really means and what is really right for your body here on the Life, Business, and Money Show. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dan, if you're looking for ways to get better health, I highly recommend that you give him a call. You can reach him at his office directly at 713-295-9358. set up a consultation, talk to them over the phone about your health, whether you're ill or you're doing well right now. It's good to find ways to always improve your health. 713-295-9358 or find him online at drdanwellness.com. We'll be back on the Life, Business, and Money radio show with more key points to getting over the common cold or flu right after this. Welcome back. This is Life, Business, and Money. Today, we're talking about your health and wellness. If you have a question or comment, if you'd like to share some of your favorite or most used remedies for the common cold or flu when you're ill, then call 713-783-8365. That's 713-STEVENK. Shoot an email to me at StephenKLive.com or chat online, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google Plus, Twitter, and of course, our stream provider, Blog Talk Radio. All of those resources are available to you, not just when we're live, but 24/7. So if you call when we're live right now, 713-783-8365, you'll become part of the show if you choose. If you're listening to a podcast right now, when you call that number, 713-STEPHEN-K, you'll reach me at my office, and I'll still help you or connect you to the person who I know and trust can help you best. Quick special thanks to Umberto Coppola and 130 Fitness for being our personal training sponsor of the show. If you'd like two free personal training sessions at 130 Fitness, email freestuff@stephenklive.com. That's freestuff@stephenklive.com. Subject line 130 Fitness, include your name, address, phone number, and email, and we'll hook you up with two free personal training sessions. That's freestuff@stephenklive.com. Right now, I am talking with Dr. Dan Cuney, our customized clinical nutritionist and chiropractor. And Dr. Dan, in the end of the last segment, I talked about the old adage, feed a cold, starve a fever. We've heard this all of our lives. This actually started, I believe, I'm not looking at some of the things I'd looked up previously, but I believe in the mid 1700s, somewhere around there, when we really didn't know what a fever was, many believed that if you starved it, it would go away. But at the same time, if we're taking away the fuel that our body needs, then maybe it won't have the strength that it needs to actually help fight off the infection and cure us. So there's thoughts on this topic on both ends of the equation, and many of us still go by that old adage, and it may not actually be helpful.
Yeah, it's a tough call. You know, by the way, I just Googled it. It looks like it says, went back to as early as 1574.
Wow.
When a dictionary writer, John Withalls, wrote, fasting is a great remedy for fever, F-E-U-E-R. So anyway.
Yeah, and there's even confusion on the translation of what he wrote versus what it actually meant. So, but it turned into starve a fever, and that's the thing that we all know and always hear today.
Yes. And so I believe there's a lot of potency and power if you're able to fast on the first day that you get sick. So I've seen this time and time again with myself and with my patients that have been willing to do it, is that if you, the first day, you remember we were just talking about the first signs of sickness?
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things that I do. And I will fat first day. That means I'll drink lots of water, but I won't eat anything. Now, here's the rationale. The rationale is that the energy that has to go towards digestion can be used for your immune system to battle what's going on. And the secondary piece of it is most of us are putting things in our body that are actually detracting from our health anyway. So fasting will help us in a great way. Now, people who have never done this before, may have a little bit of a challenge with it. So sometimes we'll tell them, okay, well, you can do a little bit of, you know, chicken broth or something like that, just to give them a little bit of something for their stomach. The traditional thing, you remember people used to say, give me chicken soup for when you were sick?
Yeah, that's the most common remedy I know.
Soup, you know, natural chicken soup, I believe I've read that there's a little bit of an antibiotic quality to natural chicken soup. That won't still be in Campbell's chicken soup because it's been pasteurized, da, 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 all the things that have, you know, it's been there. But the problem is that most of us today are not in a place to really make a chicken stock when we're feeling sick, unless we have a significant other that's willing to do that for us while we're not feeling well. And those recipes are, again, from Weston A. Price. We've talked about Weston Price many times before. And there's links on my website, you know, that Dr. Dan Wellness, that will show you how to, you know, the concepts of the making those natural broths that have a lot of beneficial qualities in them. And oh, by the way, those natural broths will also have some of the calcium that's leached out of the bones, because you can leave the bones in the broth when you're cooking it. But here's what I would recommend. I would just do the broth. You can hold on to the meat for later, but when you're feeling sick, I wouldn't do, you know, trying to digest that. Now, the whole feed a cold, I don't really feed it much, to be honest with you. But if I was to do it, I would be doing only nutrient-dense foods. So some of my patients are not going to do the fasting. And so nutrient-dense means, like, things that God put here on the planet. And absolutely, positively, no sugar, okay? And that includes orange juice, which throws a lot of people off because everybody's thinking, oh, I need more vitamin C, let me drink some more orange juice. But most orange juice is pasteurized, and it's a completely different concept of eating one orange versus drinking a glass of orange juice. It's just the sugar of many, many oranges.
Now, the no sugar thing, when you told me that, really threw me off, because as I started looking through my pantry trying to decide, all right, what am I going to eat today, sugar in everything.
Uh-huh. That's why it's easiest for most people to do the fast on that first day. But, yeah, when I'm saying nutrient-dense foods, I'm talking like vegetables, maybe a little tiny bit of meat if you're feeling like you are going to eat, but just small portions. And I would be really hesitant to do any fruit, but if I was to do a little bit of fruit, it would just be a tiny bit of fruit, and I wouldn't, and I would be eating the fruit, not the juice from fruit. And because we really want to try to limit that sugar. And why? Because bacteria and viruses, guess what they feed on?
Sugar. Sugar.
Yeah.
Same thing that we feed on.
Yeah. We're not supposed to, but yes. In our society, we have about 180 pounds of sugar per year. It's one of the major issues in our society, leading to diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. The secondary piece is absolutely no dairy. Dairy causes lots of mucus, and it's just not something you want your immune system to have me deal with wires. And no wheat, so that includes anything made with white flour. So there goes the noodles in the chicken noodle soup. Okay, so these are the things that I tell people to get really on top of, because if they can just go natural, they'll do much better. But if they're willing that first day to do a water fast, the improvement levels are dramatic. Now, the other thing that I tell people, we already mentioned, you know, getting extra chiropractic adjustments. The obvious is get extra rest. You know, take the day off if you can, and just rest. Don't try cleaning the house. Just rest. That, you know, your body needs to heal and allow that process to happen. And then I use something called raw apple cider vinegar. The most popular brand of that is called Bragg's. And the raw apple cider vinegar has natural antibiotic qualities to it, which is really awesome. So you're boosting up your immune system. And it's a little bit confusing because there's a whole acid alkaline concept. Even though it's a vinegar, it's the only vinegar that I know of that it turns into an alkaline ash once it's processed. So in other words, it makes your body more alkaline, which is exactly what you do need when you're trying to fight any sort of infection. So the way I do it is I tell people to do one teaspoon per hour, with some water. Okay. Sip on it, you know, and drink it down. and 1 teaspoon per hour all day long until you get a sense that your stomach is getting a bit too warm. And that's going to be different for different people. Some people will do 1 teaspoon all day long and it'll be no issue whatsoever. And some people have a little bit more sensitive tummy and they'll only be able to do maybe 1 teaspoon every few hours. But just try to get that sense of it and just get plenty of that apple cider vinegar in, and it tends to have a really healing capability, for your body.
Now, you also put on your list, under sore throats, salt water, which is something I also found a lot of online, when I did some other research. What's the, point of, salt water and even versus the apple cider vinegar? Do you do both or which one is better?
Well, if you look at the note, I wrote that apple cider vinegar is really better, but the salt water will work in a pinch. So, you know, the salt water, it just seems to help draw out a little bit of the infection and break down a little bit of the mucus when you're having that sore throat. And then what you do, and it's a little different, so I always want you to drink the apple cider vinegar, but if you're having a sore throat and you gargle with the apple cider vinegar or you gargle with the salt, you actually spit that out because it does draw out a little bit of the, you know, the infection stuff. And so then you'll spit that out and you can always drink back, you know, a little bit of the apple vinegar afterwards. So there is a, you know, a real healing quality to that. And it's just really trying to get, help a little bit more with the bacteria that's in the throat. And really, to be honest with you, salt water is sort of a, palliative, you know, as far as I understand it. It's just a little bit more to help you feel a little bit better. Another thing that, has a little bit of antibacterial properties for a sore throat is chamomile tea. So that's good, and it soothes the sore throat. And there are some, if you go to the, like, Whole Foods, you'll see there's literally these tea bags of things that'll be made, like chamomile tea with a little bit of echinacea in it and things like that, that are just, they're made for, like, medicinal healing type concepts. So, you know, so it's nice to have some of those on hand, so if anything, you know, happens, you have that available.
You know, the tea thing is something I wanted to hit on because you're recommending here chamomile. I've heard people say tea with honey or even just hot water with honey. Honey is seems to be a common natural healer of the sore throat, the cough, the things that, like for me, affected the vocals. You know, where does some of those other recommendations fit in to the grand scheme of things?
Well, I think that, you know, I go back and forth on the honey because honey is known, to have some amazing benefits over time. And we're talking, of course, raw honey, right? Because it still has the natural, enzymes in it and things that are killing, you know, that are healthy for us. The challenge for me is that at the same time we're telling you to do something that we know has some beneficial qualities, we're also increasing your sugar. And there's that little bit of, well, is this the best choice for us? Because we know the sugar is going to feed the infection. So, you know, it is definitely known to be there. We know it has a little bit of antimicrobial properties and can kill a little bit of the bacteria. And it's been known for, you know, a long, long time for that. But it's not one of my first recommendations. I could see how that could be helpful for some.
Now, when we have the sore throat or the cough, a lot of us, you know, again, go to the store, reach for the shelf for the cough drops, the sprays, of course, the liquid, over-the-counter medications. And again, these are some things that we really have to be careful of.
Absolutely. Sugar, sugar, sugar. So there's a lot of sugar in them, and a really bad, you know, sore throat, cough, you can use some cough drops. The Ricola honey herbs seem to be the best, but again, there's sugar in there. So, you know, you want to be very sparing use of that. I would much rather use like an herbal throat spray, like we have one from MediHerb, that is really potent as well. And, you know, I also want to mention the sinus thing because that's a big one for a lot of people. And that's, you know, do acupressure points on the sinus points around your face. You can Google that. And then the sinus flush systems really do seem to work. But here's the deal. The thing that I want to add to using those, I like the Neil Med ones that you can pick up in most of the stores these days. But you want to make sure you also do drops in your ears at the same time, 50% hydrogen peroxide, 15% rubbing alcohol, because the research is showing that sometimes the infection will move from the sinuses back to the ears, and we don't want that to happen. So, you know, those things are all real good. And then, of course, I have tons of natural healing supplements in my practice that I help people with to really boost up their immune system, whether it's herbal or food-based. We get really good results if you get right into me.
And if you want Dr. Dan's help, whether you have a common cold or a flu, or if you just want to start to take better care of your own health or well-being naturally, the way nature intended, the way your body was designed, the way God made us, then give Dr. Dan a call. He will be glad to help you out. And don't be stubborn like me. During the break, Dr. Dan said, you know, I didn't realize you were that sick. I went to him a few days after I actually started feeling better. I'm a little stubborn. I won't go to the doctor, even the good ones. And I made the mistake. Don't make that mistake. Call Dr. Dan if you feel that there's something wrong with your health. Immediately, he'll talk to you over the phone. At no charge. If you want to set up an appointment, if you think what he's saying sounds good, sounds like something it'll work for you, then set an appointment. Go in and see him. It's 713-295-9358. You can research him online at drdanwellness.com, but you'll get most of your answers when you call 713-295-9358. Again, online at drdanwellness.com, and he will be glad to help you out with something that ails you, something that's been bothering you for years, or just helping you take better care of your health and nutrition and diet so that you can experience the well-being that you are meant to feel regardless of where you are in life at this moment. That's all the time we have with Dr. Dan today, but he's here every week, so make sure to look through the archives for his other shows. You can find them on his website at drdanwellness.com. You can find them on our website at stephenklive.com. He is there to help you be well and have a healthy life. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this edition of Life, Business, and Money. So stay tuned. There's a little bit more to come. And if you have any questions or comments, call 713-STEPHEN-K or email me at stephenklive.com.